Cool, we're rolling.
What one. Episode is it?
One.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Jimson and Roscoe Show. And today we are joined by Billy Wiz, a.k.a. the nicest guy in UK hip hop.
Yeah, yeah. Episode.
I don't know.
20.
Something. It's got to be 27 or 8.
7 or 8.
Yeah.
Either way.
Who cares?
Billy, three good things that have happened to you today.
Today?
Mm.
Oh, man. Well, I got really drunk last night, so waking up and being functional as a human adult has been lovely today.
Nice.
Recovering, not to be too hungover in here, has been wonderful today. I got to spend time with my sister, because she lives down the road. She lives in Oldfield Park, so I got down a bit
days.
Early.
Yeah,
so that was real nice, man. Yeah, got around there, got two kittens, they're pretty cool. So yeah, it's been kind of wholesome like that, really. So yeah, there you go. I hope that's a few nice things. I'm alive.
Kittens, you're alive.
Kittens, I'm alive.
And you see
your family, yeah.
Yeah, nice.
Sweet.
So I'll have that, yeah.
Billy, how have you been? Because I haven't seen you for a long time.
It's been like years, like quite literally. I think it was probably at Lakota or something. It was the last time I saw you. Because it was either there or O2. And I'm pretty sure both times it was Mobb Deep.
Yeah, it was. It was either Crazy's thing or Crazy's thing was after, wasn't it? So it must have been that. Must have been the Havoc night.
Well, yeah, because P was gone. Yeah. It was Havoc, wasn't it? It was just Havoc, the second one. Yeah. So that was so last time seeing them together as a unit, like, was probably one of the last times. And then
because you were at the O2 as well, weren't you?
At the O2
I was lucky to have gone to the arena when you just like rest in peace, man.
Yeah, crazy.
But yeah, for anyone who doesn't know who Billy is, actually, let's go into like when I introduced him as the nicest. Is it the nicest guy in hip hop or nicest guy in UK hip hop? Was it?
Well, apparently, UK it's not. I've not been saying it myself.
Just everyone else.
I'm too nice. Well,
Where did this to tell anyone the story of that?
What, like, that name?
Yeah.
Man, who the hell would it have been? I can't remember if it was Crazy or it was Jinxster. Man, or even Milo. Yeah, do you know what I mean? It was someone out of that lot around that time. So we're probably talking maybe 9-10 years ago as such, like when I was just sort of being about. And I cannot remember, but it must be either one of those for you guys.
It came up in the Jinxster episode.
I saw it. And it stuck. But I'm gonna have to say it was around then, because around that time I was DJing for Jinx's old crew, Three Headed Beast.
Yeah.
And the League of Shadows, which was Milo's thing, you're on it.
Yeah.
That project and that. So it, and then by that point, that like, you know, I was living in Bath. This is when me and you first sort of met.
Yeah.
Because I moved here for a bit, lodging at my sister's, and before I got into Bristol. And so when I started doing more stuff with them, yeah, suddenly this name came about and it started being like put up on like online and they're sharing around. So yeah, shouts to whoever that actually was, but yeah, that was funny.
Yeah. So where are you? Because you're from Hereford originally, isn't it?
Well, Worcester, really.
Okay.
So not too far, right? But yeah, Worcestershire, like a town called Upton.
Yeah.
It's a real small little town.
Mm.
It's all right. It's a bit. You know, one of them. Like, you know, if anyone comes on the outside of town, it was a punch up. Like, you know, just
where are you from?
Kind of,
like going to Radstock or something.
Yeah. I must have been them. Like, I don't know who they are. You know, it was a little place like that. But you know, to be fair, not too far from like Worcester, Birmingham. You know, places like that where we were going to loads of different nights and stuff. So yeah, it was.
Do you know what? I always find it funny, like, you know, when you go to like the small places, and it's like you just can't like hide, and like people like think like I go move to a village and like get away and no one to know my business. It's like no, that's the worst.
It's the worst thing.
That's
do.
The worst
everyone
thing you can do if you don't want anyone to know your business. Like, go to like the heart of a city and just don't speak to anyone. And then like,
yeah, that's fine.
No one will know you. Like, you go to a village, and now everyone's gonna know who you are. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I've lived in Totterdown for 7 years. I don't know my neighbours. It's fine.
I don't even know myself, mate.
Yeah. Do I live with other people? But yeah, like, no, I've got a mate back home. He gets really annoyed that like I don't ring him when I'm back home because I just know where he's gonna be. Do you know what I mean? Because it's like that small. I'm just like, I can just try one of the 10 pubs in the road and be like, I'll eventually find him. I know where you're gonna, you know. It's that small.
I miss that about being little
a kid.
Do you know what I mean? It's like
going to find your mates.
They're not here.
It's new.
Oh,
like
they're
that.
There.
Yeah.
They're not there. They're there. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's I wrote it in a bar recently, doing like some tracks. This Polish guy, Zentuk. It's like, I miss the simple times of house phones and finding mates. No urgency. We had the patience and the time to wait. Now it's two blue ticks. We all see that you have seen it.
It's
I don't know, man. We romanticize about the fucking good things, but I think sometimes it's like rose tinted glasses, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, you know, to an extent. There's obviously pros and cons of loads of stuff.
Yeah.
Like that,
but
yeah, man, that's all right.
So what was your sort of like upbringing then for like hip hop? Like where did that start for you? Or where was your early music like influences?
Like my sister gave me a Red Hot Chili Peppers CD, right? And that was like my first thing of something that was alternative. On, you know, alternative in the ways that you weren't really, you know, it wasn't like kids pop music. Like, I must have been about 9 or 10 or something. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, this is amazing. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And then Rage Against the Machine, like I ended up just through other mates or older mates liking that. But then, yeah, like I think hip hop, I remember just always liking some of it. Like my brother had a little bit of hip hop here and there.
Older.
Like, older brother Paul. He was like a good foundation as well for a lot of stuff. So to be fair, I've probably just jumped over a load of stuff there. So my sister gave me music, whereas my brother always had music playing.
So
Beastie Boys, stuff like that. He was a big metalhead as well. So loads of like Megadeth, Slayer, Metallica, and all that early, like in the 80s thrash stuff. Like I got into that because of him. Then he went to uni. I remember this, like he went to uni while I was still a kid. And he came back, he had long hair. Before he went, he had long hair, came back, shaved it off, and he came back with like tapes of Jungle and stuff. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, so that was that, like, you know, and so I always kind of heard different stuff, but yeah, like, I think really the first thing with hip hop for me was, no lie, was Slim Shady LP, it was Eminem.
Yeah.
I can remember going to the shop buying at Woolworths back in the day.
Yeah, big at Woolies, man. Yeah,
Woolies. Come on, man.
Yeah. Get your Ladybird boxes.
Man, pocket money sold. Yeah, took a few like games to the secondhand shop and car boots and stuff.
Yeah.
Bought that album.
Fop was a thing as well, man, wasn't it? Like they had like the £5 basket in that.
Man. Yeah. Forgot about that, yeah.
Because I remember like back in the day, just going HMV and I'd be like, fucking, I had like a thing for like the No Limit stuff, like these shiny covers. Yeah, it's like, what's that?
Cash money stuff, all
these covers, and like half of that stuff that I bought was fucking utter trash. But the cover looked good. But then, like it's just fucking trial and error, isn't it?
That's another thing though, you're saying about covers and stuff, right? So with my brother, and he had his metal collection, I just thought it was amazing because you could have like Iron Maiden covers there, and the artwork's it's fantastic artwork.
Yeah,
and that always made me be like, I wonder how that sounds, because they had a bit of a theme with each thing as well. So you'd have like, you know, the Egyptian style version of Eddie, their character, and then you'd have like a cyborg version of him, and just always made you want to listen to it. How's that going to sound if the cover's that cool?
Yeah,
that's something I've always been like really
judging
into.
Books by covers,
literally.
But they say like the artwork is. Well, I don't know if it is so much. Well, I guess it is now, even still.
I think it's come around a bit more. Like,
yeah. Do you mean people imagery is massive on fucking social media? Do you mean there's a difference between someone who's got like a good bit of lighting behind them and a good snap than someone who's just like, here's me fucking at the, some bus stop? Fucking
No, definitely. Man.
It's like the image based world we live in. And it's amazing because we've got like all this power at our hands.
Mm.
But so is everyone else.
Yeah.
That's a good shout.
It's one of them. But yeah, no, I think, because I used to love the books, man.
Mm-hmm.
You remember when you fucking go through and it's like fucking, like, you used to read who produced it, fucking.
Inserts
and that. Yeah, man.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? It's like something tangible. And I think that's kind of like where the vinyl resurgence came from as well, wasn't it?
Mm. Yeah.
And it's nice. And like, I dabble when I buy like the odd vinyl here and there of like people like I want to support. But then I think, fucking, man, just fucking clogging my house up with more stuff.
I'll do that. Like I started collecting, like obviously I Crate Dig anyway and stuff, but like, yeah, I started collecting like, you know, like old UK hip hop stuff as well, like Silver Bullet, Hijack, anything like that. But yeah, it was always mad interesting, but I was always a little bit gutted if it just came on like, yeah, because obviously people are doing it independently as well,
yeah,
so your quality's a little bit different. It's not bad, it's just different, where you're like, oh, hang on, this is on a white label, but it's in a printed cover, that's fine. Oh wait, there's nothing in here to say what it is. Or then you pull out something else and it's like done on like what's it, you know, that weird paint spill vinyl and stuff, and it's just little varies in quality, but it is like you're collecting. It's like collecting a comic or something, you know what I mean?
And I mean them proper comic collectors, man, they got the fucking like cellophane and fucking like, get the white glove on to fucking plant your first edition fucking Spider-Man, like,
little thimble and that to turn the page.
I watched that Shazam last night. Have you watched that?
Yeah. I watched it the other day.
What, the app?
No. I sat there watching Shazam.
What are you doing?
I entered this one. Fucking,
what is it?
It's like DC. It's on. It's a film. It's on Netflix.
Yeah.
But it's a 12. and we watched it, and I watched it with Carvel like this. Like,
oh, I think I've seen
this monster like bites this bloke's head off, and I look across my missile, it's like, ooh, appropriate.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, do you mean? It's fucking.
Well, actually, fully bites it off.
Yeah. You don't see the blood, but it just goes like that.
Yeah, it does take, yeah, and eating loads of people and shit.
How did Carvel take that?
All right, just fucking sat there watching it.
Yeah.
Tom and Jerry, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose. That's it. But yeah, no, I thought I enjoyed it, man. I enjoyed that film, like, so.
Yeah,
it's just one of them films. You just it's just silly, innit? You know them ones.
Yeah.
Like, just,
easy watch.
Yeah, man. Well, that's the thing. I've always quite liked that character, like, because my old man when he was a kid, like, when I was like, I don't know, 8 or whatever, my cousin was real big into X-Men comics and stuff. So occasionally he would give me some. And I remember trying to talk to my old man, being like, yeah, are you ever into these? And he's like, no. Oh, apart from, and he was called Captain Marvel then. He's like, yeah, and this guy, oh yeah, Captain some new cessations. I was like, oh, no way. Like, so when it was on Netflix, I told him, I was like, oh, get on there, you know, because that was something from his childhood that he was on telly.
So what's the deal with Captain Marvel then?
Well, that's the thing. I think that Shazam now was owned by a different company entirely, I think. Right. So then DC bought the property for it to put it in, but then obviously Marvel Comics was about. So there's so much confusion.
Captain Marvel's a woman now, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but that's the Marvel one. Yeah. So actually two different companies or two different characters. They were both called Captain Marvel.
Ah.
That's what it was. So that's why this one's Shazam now.
Right.
Yeah, can you imagine? Like, you know, because I remember that as a kid being like, but Captain Marvel, this is DC. Like, it didn't make sense.
I guess it's not a real universe, so they can rewrite the rules at any time.
Yeah, it's a really old, I'd say a really old character, man. Like, that Captain Marvel that's the DC one was, I don't know, like, 30s, 40s? It's,
right, okay.
Do you know, because I never realised that Howard the Duck was fucking...
Oh, Marvel.
Have you seen the film?
I don't know.
The 80s one.
The 80s
one. Yeah, I have.
Mate.
What's Howard the Duck?
Howard the Duck. So he's from like, and he comes in and he's like, the bird from Saved by the Bell. She's the girl in it.
Right,
she starts getting with him. like we were there watching
reality.
And I remember watching it, and then like it was like it's like all like you see like the shadow and that, and they're like getting with each other. I was like, oh my god, she's fucking getting with the duck.
Yeah,
it's a bit surreal, man. I was like, it is because they like say getting all close, like as if it was like a romantic thing. It's like, oh yeah, there's gonna be buddies. It's a duck. It can't happen. Like, I was like, oh shit, it's happening. How are the ducks getting down with a chick from fucking Saved by? Saved by the Bell.
It's one of those like weird, like obscure films you will find in a bargain bin. But if you see it, pick it up. Like,
yeah, it was on Netflix for a while, man. The 80s
one. Didn't they? They put it for a little bit. Yeah, yeah.
See if it's on there, man. Howard the Duck.
Oh man.
Do you know? I woke up this morning. I had this fucking weirdest dream last night.
Yeah, that's it.
What? So a girl was getting with that?
Yeah. The girl from Saved by the Bell.
Man, she's a freaky girl.
But yeah, I woke up this morning, mate, talking to ducks. I had the fucking weirdest dream. So I woke up.
I had a dream as well.
In the dream, like I was looking at the curtains, and in the back garden, you've got the wooden gates. Yeah. And this little wing coming through the gate. And what it was an army of ducks, right? Little ducks. And they'd like kidnapped some chickens to add to the chickens I've already got in the garden. But these chickens were like really weird. And one of them had like a fucking pink head with like a cow pattern on it. And the other one had like shaggy fur instead of feathers, like a Jack Russell with like a duck's beak. And then they were going into the next. And I was like, no, you can't go over there. The dogs are getting from next door neighbor. And like, I woke up.
What,
and
you were
like,
speaking to them?
I was like, you can't go over there, like trying to get them back. Like, yeah, mate. Like, yeah. Fucked. Like, and I hadn't had a vivid dream for a long time. And that was like fucking.
Yeah.
I've had loads, but I'm going to wait for next week to talk about it.
Okay, cool.
Because this is about Billy Whiz.
Yeah.
Not duck. Duck.
Yeah.
And duck porn.
Duck beast. I was going to call the episode The Nicest Guy You Get Hip Hop, mate, and I just call it Duck Beast. Yeah, duck porn.
Oh, shit.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Okay. How's it going fucking at the moment? Because you still doing SWU?
I don't know yet. I think it's just more of a break than anything.
Yeah.
They've done changes onto their schedule, and it just wasn't going to quite work with me and Wish.
Mm.
So we haven't quite heard back, but we have suggested, look, they're going to do a sort of ramp up of new stuff in March.
Yeah.
So I believe. So we just said, well, look, if you want, take a break till then. Just fine, because, you know, Wish is proper busy.
Yeah, like, I'd like to get one in at some point, man.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Because I remember like chatting to him as well. This must have been like what, back in when Crazy was doing like the early nights at the Snug when he was first doing the Word Life thing. I remember Wish then and just like his consistency since then has just fucking paid off, man. And he's just
that album's strong, man.
It's the really the good. New one, yeah.
Really good.
Yeah, no, that he's
Yeah, he's been sat on that pretty much since he put out Boom Bap, innit?
Really?
For quite a while. Near enough, I think, give or take one or two tunes, maybe. Mm. But I remember, he was saying, oh yeah, you should hear the new stuff. He'd done it in a really short, recording space.
Yeah.
And I just remember him going around, he had that sort of big sort of thing, smile on, it's like...
who mixed it?
Roller. I know.
Production's mad.
Crazy.
The mix on the engineering on it is fucking.
Yeah. No, shouts to Roller, man. He's so me and Wish have actually done an album as well. And he's done such a remarkable job on it.
Yes.
And he's even said that I'm paraphrasing, but I've had a little, let me know if anything's changed, but I've just, seen this bit here and had this and da da da. And we're like, man, you're the executive producer now.
Yeah,
really is, because he's just turned it up and added these other bits. And man. Nice.
So is Roller doing that full on, full time now? Has he made a transition into that? Because I know he was I remember him saying, he put up a thing saying, he's getting to the point where a lot of people are asking him to fucking mix stuff. Mm. He's like,
well, yeah, there is. He's a busy guy, and he's great though, man. I've got a lot of time for him. He's honest. If he ain't got time, or it's going to be so many months down the line, he's straight up. He doesn't mess no one about, which is fine, isn't it? He's I think he's pretty much us. I think it's his spare time.
Yeah,
it's all of his spare time.
Right? Yeah.
So, yeah, but no, he does such a good job, man. It's unbelievable. You could probably drop a bag on getting something that good. Mastered as well.
Yeah. Because I was looking recently, on Fiverr, I was just scouting around. I was because it's tough. I was just add a little. I was what are these mix engineers charging on Fiverr? And generally, it's on average about 150 quid per track for anything. You can get, if you're only giving them a few stems, say you give them 4 or 5 stems or something, you probably get it for 40-50 quid, because it's not much. But if you're giving someone 12 to 16 stems or something, you're looking at an average of 150 quid on Fiverr.
Yeah,
just for a mix,
one song.
What, just for the mix?
Just for the mix. That's just the mix, yeah.
Just the mix as well. Yeah, I mean, it's good to look about, do you know what? This is one thing I see sometimes, there is always going to be a bit snobbery, in music and stuff, but I've seen people, say about Fiverr or other places and being oh, you have to go on there. It's like, well, there ain't nothing wrong with shopping around. You never know what you're going to find.
Yeah.
You can find someone real, real good. Fair enough, it might work out. But then, if you found someone that's real good and turns it around quick and it works.
Yeah.
It works.
Just go for it. Look around, man. I mean, look, the problem is sometimes you can have a mate that does stuff. You can have a mate that mixes and masters. But they, I'm not saying they're not professional about it, but I'll be with you next week. I'll be with you this week. Which is fine, isn't it? But if you can't get too mad at it, then it's your mate still doing a favour.
Yeah.
Or sometimes it's good to actually go to someone who is professional about it. Who's got no personal ties with you and wants to get a good job done. So
Because they're at the end of the day,
it's purely
they're putting
business, then, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's it.
Do you know what? Actually, before we go any further, for the people that don't actually know. What do you actually do, Billy Whiz?
Oh, right, I just turn up stuff, have a chat. So
DJ Khaled.
I make beats, mainly hip-hop beats, but I like making all sorts, really. And I DJ for Wishmaster, Twizzy, Jinx,
cool.
Press One. A few people, that's me. I will do projects with people. Mm-hmm. I'll do my own production stuff, just solo stuff. And generally, mate, I'm just still having fun with music, if I'm honest. That's the thing. I was saying to my mate the other day, he said something about how long, I've been around doing stuff. Then, I've done all right. I'm happy with what I've achieved.
Yeah.
I was just like, mate, when the fun stops, that's when I'm packing it in. I'm having a life still, so.
Yeah, so because I've through lockdown, it's I found the social media side of things really sucked the fun out of it for me, man.
Mm-hmm.
I found I was putting too much emphasis on that, and it was taking away, trying to churn stuff out too quickly.
Mm.
And it's like, oh, mate, this is
content,
taking
content.
Yeah, content. It's like, no, let's take the fun out of it. So it's just fucking, it's nice to fucking
dial back.
And because like you say, what's the point if you're not having fun with it? Music's supposed to be fun.
Exactly. Yeah. That. No, lockdown was a weird one, man. I mean, I put out my EP, my production one, during that. But it was weird because it was like, I got a bit over paranoid, like, oh man, I got to keep something consistent, because otherwise, do you know what I mean? Maybe the reach I had before might forget.
Or might do this or might do that.
Yeah. I got to keep doing something. What kind of worked with me, if I'm honest, was the merch. Like, yeah. I was doing little runs of merch as well. Mm. And that just seemed to be, that was almost like putting out a project, didn't it? Yeah. Like, oh, 20 t-shirts, that's it. That'd be good to post. People were sharing it, this and that. That was working. It felt like I put a tune out.
Yeah.
But at the same time, that was still... But it was still trying to, you know, make sure that I was appearing in people's feeds and stuff.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it worked. so I'm not knocking it too much. But it was, or, you know, the lockdown stuff, you didn't know what was happening.
Nah. You know? Like the same, like the merch for me is the quickest thing to go. T-shirts, like fucking gone.
Yeah.
And then the hoodies, I'd done the hoodie run for, which I did for Julian Ice when I did the Christmas track last year.
Mm.
They took a bit longer than the t-shirts, but they were still gone within the month of December when I put them out. Just done like, what did I do with them? 20, I think.
But It's funny, isn't it? T-shirts, it's crazy, isn't it? It's unbelievable sometimes how t-shirts go.
Dude, because I think as well, it's better. The beauty of doing the t-shirts is when, like, the way, like, where you do the press yourself, innit, rather than, because I know a lot of people now, they do these things like, what's it, like Teespring or whatever it's called.
And Spreadshirt.
It's all about getting it done, going to the place, getting it. It's like, look, I've got 20 of these.
Yeah.
Who wants one?
Oh, man. Yeah. You know 100%. 100%. That was kind of like the way I was doing it. So Finger Food did my stuff, right? And that was that. He'd send me a mark. And yeah, I was straight up with him like, well, I'm going to post this out tonight and see if I get pre-orders in.
Yeah.
So that's what I've always felt helped. So that he'd not even gone into production then.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was always just to see the response, and if people do want them, you know, obviously I was going to go through that anyway because, you know, it's not a massive gamble, t-shirts, are they? But they're good enough to have as stock or whatever. And I got such good response on the first
one. What tees did you go with?
They're printed on or whatever?
The original. Okay.
Yeah, Russell.
The premium ones.
I'm not sure
the thick ones, because I got a Word Life one from Crit, and that was really nice. That was a Russell,
that was a Russell
one,
though,
yeah.
Wasn't it? Yeah. Maybe I don't know. Was that the same type? Was that same part of Russell? I'm not sure, but yeah, Russell's like real good, and it's like what, £1 or £1.50 more unit than Gildan and stuff.
Yeah.
And the Gildan stuff doesn't really last.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't.
They shrink like fuck. Because I want to know, like, because I really like the thick stuff, like the Stussy t-shirts. Like, do you mean like the skateboarder t-shirts?
Yeah.
And it's like fucking trying to find them because that's like that. That's like the hardness.
Like Champion. Don't Champion do them?
Yeah,
not so much they are though.
Yeah, I mean, it's
Champion's quite dare.
It depends, isn't it? Like, and what the supplier is at the printers. And sometimes, like, yeah, you can bulk buy good stuff.
Yeah,
but sometimes it just works out to use who their supplier is and stuff. Like those Russell ones of mine have lasted like 3 years or something,
is
and
it?
They're fine. Like, you know what I
mean? Well, saying that, those hoodies I got from Shyla,
mate,
they were like
strong.
Yeah,
they what did they work out? They worked out about £9 a unit.
Right, wow, that's good. Yeah.
And like, they're amazing.
Mate, it's the pocket inside
the pocket. They haven't shrunk. They haven't like done it. And I've bought like more expensive ones as well, which have like not lasted anywhere near these ones, which cost £9 each.
Wow.
And, like, because I asked her again last year, I was going to get some for someone else who wanted, and she said she couldn't because she was on maternity leave.
Yeah,
she couldn't put an order through. She rang her accountant and said, can I put an order through? She said, no, because you're on maternity leave. You can't do it through the business because you're claiming maternity. Yeah. So she couldn't do it. It's something in the law that if she ordered it, because it's a business account that she's doing it through, and she's by law, she's claiming maternity pay.
Right.
She can't be seen to be doing business on through the books, basically. So the place that the wholesale place she was getting it from. I was like, all right, well, let me know when you're fucking off maternity, innit?
Yeah. No, that's a shame, man. But yeah, no, it's a good way to go, man. And if you got a good logo or something that pops, get on it. You know, there's people always going to support you. I think people sometimes feel better buying a bit of merch. I know for a while I was a bit like that. Like, I could really like a CD or an album, but I'd be like, nah, I want to wear your shit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
because it's like... It's all well and good, like getting some CDs pressed up and giving people CDs, and then you like go in someone's car, and they don't have a CD player anymore. It's like in high school. Where's a CD player? Like, you know what I mean? And it just ends up being like a token thing. Like, and I get it, like if it's like someone who you really support and you just want to have their stuff, and it's like, look, I've got this because I've collected it, or I've got like, But for majority of the people out there, if they ain't really into it, they ain't gonna like what they're gonna fuck they're gonna do with a CD.
Well, that's it. That was why I was happy to do the bundles. I did CD and t-shirt bundles.
Yes. Well, I just gave. I ended up because I just fuck. I got loads of CDs. I was like, I just And if anyone bought the t-shirt, I just fucking put a CD in with it.
Oh, yeah, exactly. You know, it's like, no, you might as well, you know. And yeah, it's just like...
Someone take them, please, please.
Yeah, that's nah, always good.
So what's going on? When's the Wish project dropping with you then?
We don't know yet. Like, we the last thing we're waiting on is artwork.
Okay.
Believe it or not. It's, you know, it's just one of those things. It's just not quite worked out, or, you know, a few people let us down, not going to lie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I won't name them. They're not going on blast today.
But he's looking at you. He's fucking looking at you. Yeah.
But nice. It was a bit mad. I can tell one tale about it. It was a guy who'd done real good stuff for me in the past. And then he just disappeared off social media, completely everything.
Mm.
And no one knew what happened with this lad. And, like, you know, I had his email and stuff. So I'd be like, are you all right? And he just disappeared. Like,
nothing, did nothing back.
Nobody did. Out of everybody, because he did loads of people's art. So we wondered if personally something had gone on with him. You know, but it was like, you know, I was speaking to other people who I knew did work. You did work for.
Yeah, he said the same thing. He's gone.
No, he's gone. Don't know what's happened to him. So
just got work.
So he just just decided. He just put one day commissions no more. I'm done or something on his Insta. I'm like, what? It's a bit weird because he's halfway through a thing for at least me and Wish. There was like another few guys I knew. And then that was it. Face of the earth, gone. I'm like, oh,
you know.
Right. Back to square one. Like, you know, but
yeah.
I mean, yeah, I hope he's all good and stuff, but yeah, so that was a bit of a that was a bit of a, like, you know, a bit of a fuck up. You know,
so what sort of art were you going? Were you going for like the whole the graphic type?
Sort of, yeah, stuff. Yeah. I need to just get this. We found a new guy now who's wicked, and he's somebody Mac Lloyd recommended me.
Mm.
A guy called David Sturgis, I think that's his name. But going to people outside of stuff, you know. Mm. So Mac was like, look, go to this guy, here's his website and everything. So I was like, fucking ideal, put in a request and just been talking to him loads. And he's just, doesn't mind any. I'm terrible at sending briefs for stuff, artwork. And I'm always, and I state that when I know him. So I'm probably explaining myself horribly. Like, and he's everything I've been like, yeah, sorry, what I meant was this. Oh, mate, I'm a dickhead. You know, he's cool with it.
But it's relatable. You know, when someone comes in and they're like, they're trying to explain something, how they want to sound, and you're like, what? And they're like, all they want is they want a bit more like wet reverb, and they're like, coming out of like all these like,
I want to sound like I'm in a church.
Yeah.
In space.
Yeah.
But even worse than that, they do something which is like nothing to do with reverb. It's, you know, like the echoey things. You're like putting a load of delay on it, and they're like, no. You're like,
not that.
What do you want? And they're like, you know, like the... Like you're in a cave or somewhere like that. It's like reverb, and you're like, it's
so
same thing with a different fucking world, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much, man.
Yeah. Do you know what? I don't think I've fucking ever commissioned fucking any artwork, man.
No.
But it's like all these things that I'm looking at now, I'm thinking, to put more stuff out, I need to start doing these things. Like finding people to do it, because
it's funny, like, because Slevin, like, shouts to Slevin, man, because he killed it on my first two EPs.
Mm.
He did it for, and that was ace. But even with him, I was still like, let me email you a brief, because we were chatting about it casually, like mates, you know. And it was just so I had an idea, because the first, basically Carousel as well, he got hold of me like, have you got anything to put out? This is when he started AFT Vaps.
Yeah,
I was like, well, I've got a couple of tracks here and there. What if I do an EP? So I called it Always Finding Trouble, because it was like another play on the AFT thing, because it was going to be for them anyway. And I thought, well, let's get it out. And I had this idea. I wanted, like, you know, like the FBI and stuff, and they have like the suspects board or something like that, or things like that. And I was trying to get it Slev, and he's like, no, I like it, but it's, oh, I don't know, just it's not quite fitting with what I'm able to do. Or he's trying it, and he wasn't happy with what he was doing.
Mm.
So I was just like, I went around his house, and I was like, mate, just what does that title make you think of? And he went, Big Trouble in Little China. I was like, that's what we're doing. That's what he did. He did his version of that.
Yeah.
With like Totter Down and stuff on there, and like Slicks and stuff. And that was it. It was a big reference to that. And I really like that film, man. I like my AIDS film. Yeah, so I was just like, boom. You know what I mean? That's good having that bit of communication there.
It's like you have to give the scope to the artist. Do you know what I mean? Because it's like someone coming to you and like asking for a fucking... beat like what Bailey's Brown made, and you're like, well, I'm not Bailey's Brown, I'm not gonna make a beat like him. If you want a beat like that, go and buy one off him.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like,
you work with the artist.
You work with the person you're going on. It's just like, whenever I work with someone, whether it be beats or whatever, it's like, I try to be like, I want this, but do your thing.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I'm coming to you for a reason, because I want you. I don't want you as someone else. Like,
here you go, really good point. So composer, right? So I really like what he's doing. Have you heard much by him?
Yeah.
Man, composer, I just rate him highly. And he was saying to me for ages, let's do something. Now, I'd heard him on more kind of skippy beats, like 140 or something. And so I was giving him those kind of beats like that. And he was just like, nah, these are cool, but
what about your hip hop beats? Like, yeah. I want like a Billy Wiz hip hop beat. And so, man, the track we've done, it's one of my favourite ones. Do you know what I mean? It was just good to hear that. No, I've actually come to you for you. And I was thinking of what his style is. Yeah. You know, well, what I've heard him on, or I'm familiar
trying
with.
Trying to adapt yourself to him rather than...
Yeah, I was thinking, this would be good. Yeah, we'll do something like this and da-da. Whereas he actually wanted a beat, you know, in my hip-hop style. Like,
yeah.
So, yeah, it's funny how those things work out.
Is that coming soon?
Yeah. I'm just, again, send it to Roller.
Yeah.
So it's being mixed and it's a good track, man. It's composer and Genesis Elijah on it.
Ooh,
sick. And he killed it in lockdown, man.
Differently.
Like he killed it. Like he fucking just put out, and he's so versatile. And I like how he's so unapologetically versatile.
In a time
when everyone's being so niche and like finding their little pocket of like, I do this and this is what I do well. He's like, nah, fuck that. Like, this week he's like banging out a garage track. Next week he's like banging out fucking a hip hop track. Next week he's banging out. It's like
he just does what he wants.
Yeah, that's what I want. If I want to make that, I want to make that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's how I take it. Yeah. I can't speak for him on the matter, but that's how it feels to me. And it's never not his sound, isn't it?
Nah, that's what I mean.
How does it work? Yeah.
It's like you're still getting a Genesis Elijah track, whether it's on, do you know what I mean? It's like So I tuned into, because he's on Instagram Live all the time, man.
Yeah.
And I tuned in every, and I was like, because the Private Moments and Public album that he did.
That's right,
It's such a great album, man. He's got like all like the little skits of his family and that, like where he just left the microphone on in the room.
Okay.
Mm. And they're just like it's just his kids. It's just his kids and like his missus just like
what's
talking.
It called?
Private Moments in Public.
Yeah.
Good album, man. Really good album.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's like, he just like left the microphone in the room and like his family are like talking in the background and shit. And Yeah, because he'd done a composer. Was he on two tracks on the Twizzy joint?
I think he is. Yeah, on the album he's done with Chillman.
The crabs in a bucket.
Yeah. I'm sure he is. Yeah. Those sorry, Twiz. I've forgotten the name of the first single they put out. It's kind of like a slow song, like a guitar-y kind of sample. That track was brilliant. That was one of the best tracks I'd heard.
Twizzy was supposed to come on
last time, wasn't it?
Last time.
Mm. Yeah,
but he got ill. He had flu.
Oh, did he? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Wow. So, yeah, he didn't come on then.
Okay.
Yeah, he was supposed to come on, man. But yeah, he's and the other one, the one that I like, because he's on the one with Slowey on the Bailey's Brown one.
Yeah, that one's sick. Yeah. That's it again. It's someone else being like that versatile.
Yeah.
But still just being them. Like,
yeah.
You know, knowing what they want to do, and yeah. No, I really, really rate him, man. Like, yeah, Jinxter brought him to a show a few years ago. I'm trying to think who's it was. It might have been Wish's album launch. It might have been Boom Back to the Future. And just was like, Jinx called me like, are you on a DJ for this guy? Like, I'm telling you, he's sick. Because I don't know, or maybe put one tune out.
Yeah.
And that was it. And yeah, he killed it. He had put out the tune. There was like a posse cut with like Wish and Blaze and them guys and all that. Yeah, and so yeah, it was Jinx that introduced him to to me especially. But he shelled it that night. And yeah, he's just been working harder and harder. Like, there's that single he put out recently as well. He's just dropped it on the Brainscan Records. Have you heard that?
Don't know.
I think it's Must Be a Sign. Rolling. It's called Rolling. Sorry, The Hooks.
No,
the Hooks
called I haven't heard
it's called
it.
Rolling. Check that out. Composer Rolling. It's a fantastic tune. Like, I've been ending DJ sets in it.
Really?
I'd love it. Composer Rolling. Fantastic tune.
I forgot to fucking write down the fucking times we've been laughing as well.
Of course you have.
It's like nearly every 3 minutes. Like,
you can just freeze frame anywhere at the timeline.
Like, oh fuck, didn't do that again. It's like fucking like, because we always do like little things like with like at the beginning, like the three good things that happened to you, all those things.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Sometimes you just fucking forget. And it's like, oh yeah, forgot to do that at the beginning again. Or like, yeah, forgot to do that at the end.
Yeah.
Rolling. Composer Rolling.
Yeah. Oh, honestly, man, like it was one of those with me. I was just like, you know those ones when you're like, it's that good, you're almost like, it's someone you know, it's a mate, it's someone that, where it is that good. I'm like, this is, it almost sounds like I should be discovering somebody new hearing that because it was that good, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I might have bigged it up too much now.
Bristol, there's fucking been a lot of really good stuff, like fucking like that kid.
The
shit he's been dropping has been fucking
hard.
Insane.
Yeah, it's hard.
Do you know what I mean? Like fucking... Yeah. Yeah.
His work rate is nuts.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Oh man.
I like the Sleepless in Pino.
Yeah, I was about to say,
Fucking hard. Who produced that one? Is it Skins Man?
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Ridiculous, man.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Get
hard.
That money. I love that tune as yeah, well. Like, that's, do you know what I mean? It's just
it's hard.
He's just it's again like with Daddy. Like yeah, he's again all these people that were saying are all good. They are just who they are.
Yeah.
Doing
yeah.
what they want. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it almost like so I've been there when like, you know, he's been recording and doing verses and stuff, and it's just almost like it looks like he's doing it that well. It looks like it's easy. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Just going up and being himself.
He just it always sounds effortless.
Mm. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
And it's and what I like about that kid is that he's not normally I like the conscious shit or more like deep things, but I also like Redman, and that's what I look at him like is like a British.
Yeah, I can
man.
See that.
Okay,
he
okay.
just
I can see that
bars. There's no like mad concepts around it. Mm. He's just. Wavier than new blood.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's
yeah,
just
yeah.
rags, bruv. And yeah, like the, yeah. but then there's the concepts come through in the videos, like with the teeth.
Yeah, 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 like, yeah, yeah.
It's sick, it's sick.
I yeah, really man. Like the red man fucking resemblance, man.
Yeah,
it's
man.
Not something I would have picked up on, but like I
know what you're saying. Like, yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. It's like red man, like there's nothing like deep or conceptual about his music, but he's just sick.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm.
And it's always listenable.
Yeah, yeah.
It's never
yeah.
boring.
Very true.
Do you know
yeah.
what I mean?
Mm. Yeah. That's
and you know what you're getting?
Song. Yeah.
Fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
100%. Do you know
what I mean? Whackmo!
Yeah. Oh, wow. Fucking sick. The
biggest Whackmo.
Sick, man.
Yeah, that album crazy too, man. The Whackmo stuff is just... That just made me laugh, innit? When I heard it was going to be called Whackmo, I was just like, you spend any time on that kid, you're going to hear that phrase a lot, man.
Because he did the thing, didn't he, on the Instagram with the live thing. Whoever he went
live. Yeah, and that was jokes.
Whoever he went live with, they didn't have a spliff or drink in their hand. It's like, yeah, you're right.
You're off.
Mate.
That's
he?
Yeah,
but fucking brilliant idea,
yeah,
man.
Sick. Yeah, no, he's a good dude, man. Like, just before the pandemic, me, him and a bunch of mates, we went to Portugal for like a few days. It was some of the funniest few days I've had in my life, man. Yeah, and yeah, that was like always the morning sort of thing. Or, yeah, whenever. Like you're wandering around, everyone else, oh, see my Whackmo, like every morning, Whackmo, man. Like, so yeah, no, real good guy, man. And just, yeah, again, just killing it. Like, it was just good to see, man.
Want to get him on as well,
yeah. Mm. It's Draper's coming on next month,
sick.
As well.
Yeah, sick. Was in Drapes,
yeah,
okay, man. Again, he's another kid I rate highly. I just want you know.
Mm.
Just want to hear like more. Like, he's always putting out stuff, innit?
But yeah.
I'm always like on whatever he's putting out. You
yeah,
know what I mean, yeah, yeah, man, real good talent.
It's like a fucking the here. I don't know. It's probably everywhere. But like here, like at the moment, I think there's just fucking a lot of good music.
Yeah, man. Well, that's another lad I'm DJing for as well. I forgot to mention at the start, but so I'm DJing for a drill artist now as well. Called okay. TK or Stretch, and man, he's just like, he's done it in a good way. He's like, he's a 19-year-old kid from Fishponds, right? But he just went to London for his management and has been working with London producers and linking there.
Yeah,
and like he's on like, I don't know, 500,000 views this and that press play and stuff. His first ever show, emceeing to anybody was Love Saves the Day.
Sick.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And again, just like, and he is a madly talented kid. Like, he sings as well. He doesn't do too much of it, but he can do it, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
like,
sick.
So I've heard him being there going, like,
I think as well, like, the younger guys are more fucking clued up on how networking works.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like you just said about him going to London and linking with the right people to do what he needs to do. It's like,
mad different. Like, it was eye opening for me, you know, when I, because. So this is the thing. Me and Wish had him on our show, right? And when he had Love Saves, I was already playing. So they asked if I wanted CJ for him, and I was like, yeah, I'll do it. But I was straight up like, look, if any of your mates end up DJing or what have you, like I like my bits and bobs of drill, like 6/7 stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, I was like, I'm not a drill guy. I'm not trying to jump on what you're doing because I could see he's going to do real good stuff.
Yeah.
So I was trying to. We did Love Saves, and he's like, "Nah, you are my DJ." I was like, "All right, cool." Yeah, do you know what I mean? Which is sound, sick. And yeah, and you know, because I've like heard of him from when he was young. I remember him being good, and he was real, real young, like you know, 17 or whatever. And but yeah, the way he was, like you know, he's got all these links there with guys who are big in that scene.
Yeah,
I don't know if you guys know of a guy called Lucy.
He knows more about drill than me, man.
Yeah, have you heard of Lucy? He was part of like I think it was like Block 6. And there's like Ghostface and all that.
Ghostface 600.
And yeah. So Lucy was like part of Block 6 of him.
Right, okay.
And he's a mad interesting artist. So we went down to this video shoot and he's got Lucy and YA, who was part of that Block 6. Yeah. So they're on this track. And I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to check this Lucy kit. He's mad. He's got like this Satan mask and stuff. And all that.
Oh yeah, I know, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Mad kid, right? And you know, like madly talented. Like he's like that drills, but man, who's he almost like? But I was like, oh, I better check him out. Realised I'd already checked him out because Pavan, like from Foreign Beggars, had already done a post being like, this kid's different.
Yeah.
I'd forgot about it completely on the way. I was like, shit, that's that same kid. And now he's like done some mad tune missing where he's mixed like metal and drill and stuff. And it's right. Like, but he's all these kids love him because he's just gone straightforward, not straightforward drill, but his version of drill, getting all the views in, stupid amount of followers. And then he's just dropped this stuff that's mad different. And then he dropped a hip hop track the other day. Yeah. And I was just like, that kid's winning. Like, he's done the thing to get his name up.
Yeah.
Now he's dropping what he just wants to do.
Yeah.
And it's incredible. Incredible, man, like the amount of people that rate him is you know, and that's the kind of people that TK's working with, and it's just
to be able to find your voice or your sound at such a young age, man, such a good thing.
Impressive.
Yeah. It took me fucking ages. It took me till I was like last year.
Man, it does, doesn't it?
Like, yeah,
I've only really felt comfortable in what I've been doing the last few years.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Like, in terms of, all right, I think I've got somewhere where. You know what I mean? But yeah, these kids, they know everything. Like, again, down at this shoot, they all knew what type of cameras they were, this and that. And I've got one of these. And you know, I was just like, but they were all mucking in as well. This is the other thing. Like, I've been so many like hip hop shoots and stuff where everyone's like, you know, having a smoke and having a drink and, and this cameraman's doing whatever. All of them kids are helping him out, moving stuff in, picking up the light and doing this. And I was just like, they're treating it like
a team.
A team and like work effort.
That's how we moved back in the day, though.
What was I gonna say about the shoots? Yeah, about fucking kids. I think it's more accessible to be around it more now, though.
Yeah.
Mm. Like, if you to go back, like, probably generations, like almost before us, or like to get like a good video shoot, you're fucking forking out a load of money. Mm. Like, now video is everything. Like, do you know what I mean? And it's like so many people are doing it. So many have got the cameras. Like, it's just like, it's easy to come across or see more of, or like go into like a studio or whatever. Like, back in the day, that would have been like this mysterious thing that you'd have to go and hire out and record. Like, do you know what I mean? It's like to get like a big quality album. I mean,
I can go around mates.
Yeah, it's around your mates. Like, do you mean it's like fucking?
Yeah. I think that's the thing as well. Like, when they've been at home doing. It's like that sort of thing, innit? You're doing it your way, and it's coming out good.
Yeah.
So imagine how much better it'll be in the studio. Things like that. Yeah. You know, you can kill it at home, but just that it'll always level up in a different way.
Yeah.
Depends, innit, sometimes. And I think that's the way these kids take it. Yeah. They can shoot a video themselves, but they still get this guy, unless, you know, we'll smash it.
Yeah, because it's like something that someone said to me, they said, a mix will make or break your track.
Mm. Oh, man, yeah.
Do you mean if you've got like a fucking solid mix, like that is literally the fucking like whether like that's getting played somewhere, they're like, put it on, and then it gets put on somewhere and it's like fucking boom, gets put on somewhere else. Literally fucking make or break a mix, man, a good
100%. Definitely, man. I think people shouldn't be scared to invest in stuff like that. And I'm not saying people are genuinely scared, but I think sometimes it can be a tiny afterthought.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying everybody as well has pockets full of money, right? Because, you know, I certainly don't.
Yeah.
Or more people. But if you have almost got the ability to do that, and it's one of them. So basically, if you want that quality sound, you can go do it if you want it like that. You know?
I think with it as well, it's knowing what tracks to get polished and what not to.
It's
because I know like people like they what's the fucking thing called, is it Submit Hub, the one where people pay to get fucking playlists, but it's the one where you pay the people to listen to it and they'll put it on, so it's real curators. It's not like a bot thing. It's like,
I know what you mean,
but there's a thing on there. And like, so, because I was always like, fuck that, man, I'm not paying fucking to do. And then like, what someone told me, they were like, nah, actually, like, there's a thing on there called Hot or Not. And people are like, why am I paying for people to judge my music? It's like, because you are getting fucking cold hearted fucking criticism from people who don't know you.
Yeah.
Like, and they'll flip through it and they earn credits from doing it. And they'll like, Hot or Not. And you put the song on, you upload it and you how many credits for how many people to listen to. And you'll see whether it pops or not. You'll get people voting whether your song's trash or not. I mean, you could go around to all your mates, and the thing is, majority of your mates are probably going to tell you that your fucking track's amazing. But like, you put it out into the wide public, it's like, well, it's all right. You know what I mean? But like, then, so if you did something like that with a demo before, maybe it's like, but it is, it's like, because it's a gamble, isn't it? If you're like, just say, I really like this song. I'm going to pay for fucking someone to mix this. But then like, because you know, you've probably done it in the past as well, where you've made a song and you're like, I really like this song. I've spent so long on this and I've put all my heart and soul on this.
Handbag girl.
And everyone's, and everyone's like, nah, this is trash. As you mean? Or not, this is trash.
No.
This isn't the one.
Something that you've like spent 5 minutes on. Yeah. Everyone's like, this fucking slaps. You're like, really?
Yeah.
Like that one. And they're like, what about this? Yeah. I've like put my heart and soul on this. Like, yeah, it's all right, but I like that one. Yeah.
You know what that is with me? That's when if I'm sending a load of beats to someone. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've always got something that like creatively I'm more impressed with. And the rapper's like, nah, so I like this, you know, 89 BPM with a sample and 808. Like, it's cool, but you know what I mean? The other one,
you
well,
sure
really,
you don't like this one?
Take this one.
Yeah.
I hear that. But then someone else
does find it. Yeah. But that's what happened with, again, like the stuff with me and Wish on this album. Like, Wish has picked out my beats that I like creating on, really, which I'm well happy about. It's the same sort of thing. I don't know whether, you know, it's just, it can be not someone else's cup of tea or whatever. Mm-hmm. Maybe it might be a comfort zone thing. I don't know. But yeah, he quite literally picked out the ones that other people weren't that I liked. Yeah, you know, the ones on suit are just like, someone just pick up this beat and wish like, yeah, so I really like this one here.
That's chemistry, man.
Yeah, yeah. And it is. And so I'm looking forward to what people think. Obviously, I don't know when it's coming out yet. But I mean, I'm especially proud of it because of that. You know,
you wait eagerly, man.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing it, man.
What's it going to be called? Have you got a title for it?
Yeah, we got a title. It's the company, Wish and Wiz Limited.
Coming soon.
So
sick.
So we got a lot of themes running
that, you could
stuff.
Do some sick tees with that.
That's what I was saying. Like,
let me know when you get the merch on that one, man. I'll fucking definitely. Take one off.
It's all in the pipeline and that, but
if you two, like, because I know you're DJing for him, have you actually got anything out together production wise
at the moment? On my last EP,
okay,
did a track called Moves I Make. So that's just Wish on a whole song of mine. That was the first tune we'd actually all done. And then I put out a tune called Play Your Part not long ago, a few months ago. Wish did me a hook on that, and that was one thing that track did all right for what it was. Again, it was just putting out some content. But I thought it'd be good to have Wish doing a hook. I've never really heard a track with him just doing a hook and what have you. And it did all right, but there was a few people that did feedback going, I was waiting for a Wish verse as well. So I got the tiniest bit of, I was being like, nah, it'd be good to have him on a hook. And it's just that, his voice suits a hook. But that was a good tune. It's got Chillman on it. It's got Bill Next on it. It's really, as far as like, listening to it is fine. But that was the only feedback I got of that. But then I just took it on board. Like, okay, fair enough. I thought it was a good idea. But then people did see it like Billy and Wish together,
Yeah.
So... thanks to everyone that's been sharing that and buying that, and it's been helpful. So,
yeah, man.
Yeah.
So, because how did it fall into the place of you DJing for Wish then?
This is a few years ago anyway, where I'd done a lot of shows with him. His cousin was his cousin's Ellis as well, like Ellis Jr. And I did a few shows with Ellis, and I just thought he was really good. You know what I mean? And then I just sort of heard of Wish or been at shows, like Snug, really. Probably met him at Snug. Just thought he was, it just got on well, as just chilling as mates, having a chat and stuff. But then, it wasn't long after that he did some tunes from Boom Bap, like that he just got kind of done.
Yeah.
So, like, it's probably about a year before it was out, or maybe 6 months before it was out. So, one day he just bailed me up, like, do you want to come around? Yeah, check the album, it's done. And that was it then. I was around there. I was like, have you got a DJ? He's like, no. I was like, do you want one? Because I believed in that project. I was like, no, this... I'd done like one or two shows with him before, and I was just like, always had a good vibe with him, So it's kind of like built up over just getting on. Like, we got the same sense of humour, man. We like the same sort of stupid stuff. We got a lot of like silly in-jokes and that like between us. So, and then, we did Vez's album launch. That was the first time it was me and Wish like, putting a show together. Like, actually, that's the one thing. I know certain rappers... don't have a DJ, but I like actually going around
going through the set.
Yeah,
like, man.
Pulling it together because, you know, there's little tunes where I can be like, actually, do you know what? That will work going into this whatever. And it will just make it bang a little bit more, you know? Yeah. And
I think it's always nice, like, as well, for like to go to a DJ, right? Even if it's like with, like, say you've got your project together that you want to put out as an album.
Yeah.
And go into a DJ and go in, compile that for me.
Yeah.
What order would should these tracks go on an album?
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
So I think
that's a good shout. Because people like, do it with a DJ set to me, being like, I want to do these tunes, but I don't know what order. Yeah. And I've done that. I like doing that.
I think it's nice to get a DJ's perspective on how an album should flow.
Yeah, that's
because DJs are very good at knowing how a set flows, and an album should be no different to how a set flows. Like the album should flow seamlessly.
It's always better
and
when
a DJ's perspective is really good
with
on
the artist like that. It's like when I work with Views, man, with the Go-Getters for that little drill night of the road. It was so much better than them sending me a set list, going to the studio, going, which tune do you want next? You know, this key's in key with this tune. That'll probably follow on from that. And then it's like, oh, that's the same BPM and that's it. Do you know what I mean? It just flows so much better.
That's it.
Man.
Yeah. It's really so simple.
Otherwise, you just fucking, somebody stands there and goes, fucking start.
Start
what the person fucking is giving you. And it's just like,
man, the worst one. Snug was always an experience with stuff like that. You know? Shouts to everybody came through Snug, but there was some people that were a pain in the ass. They'd come up with a USB or a CD and be like, and wouldn't even ask me, do you know what I mean? They'd see me on the decks. Yeah, so if you start with track three and then you go to four, but halfway through four, if you got to track two, and I was just like, I'm not your DJ.
Just fucking put them in order.
Well, I'm putting them in order too. I'm not your DJ. but you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, man, I think it's like, it's work ethic, isn't it? It's like fucking, some people just want fucking everything fucking done for them.
Yeah.
And they don't want to rehearse. They don't want to go around and fucking build shit. Like, do you know what I mean? And
it's important, man.
If you ain't doing that, then fucking why?
Do you know what? Right. So a clear like example of that is D Block versus Dipset. Did you watch that?
I did. Yeah.
Mate, D Block fucking killed Dipset, man. And you could see that D Block either. Well, they practiced, man. They practiced.
The thing is, though, it's like, you know that, like, that Dipset, though, they've, like, Jim Jones and Cameron hate each other.
They've hated
each other for years, even though they say...
There's like, no unity there.
Yeah, they're not going to, like, where, like, D-Block is like, it's the locks,
boys,
man. They're fucking...
Boys, man.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
Yeah, that was a little... little heartbreaking to see Dipset in such a bad way, you know?
Yeah, because you know what? Diplomatic Immunity... The first one is one of my favorite albums.
Mate, the productions are my favorite production.
The Heat Makers shit.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love that shit.
That high pitch stuff.
Yeah, I
love all that. Like 70s samples and all that. Spared up and matched.
Yeah.
I've always been D Block, man.
I'm a Lox fan. Like the Lox album, the first one on the rap when they're on Rough Riders.
Yeah.
What was it called? Ride or Die? What was it called? What was the first Lox album called?
Ride, with the grey cover with their faces.
I can't remember what it's called, but that album.
I think it
was, wasn't it just self-titled?
Maybe.
Either way, it was a hard album.
Yeah. Mm.
It was
around that period of time, though, there was like, because you had like the Black Rob album, that Lox album.
Yeah.
That was like a real, like, I felt like our age group, that was probably like that period of time where it was like,
That was sort of like
our generation.
Yeah.
Whilst like the classic, like
the
90s, that's it. The classic 90s stuff is like, us growing up, like it's that era.
That was just after like finding Cypress Hill for me and then finding the hard shit.
DMX, the whole Rough Riders thing. Like,
mate, I don't care as well. Veni, Vetti, Vecchi.
Yeah, the first Ja Rule album. Yeah.
And all the Eric Sermon albums.
Eric Sermon.
All of that early Murder, Inc. stuff. The Murder, Inc. album that they discontinued.
Yeah, I remember
that. The Murder, Inc. album, their compilation, they got discontinued and it was fucking...
Yeah, it was hard.
It banged.
Yeah.
This is before Ja Rule started fucking doing all his singy shit.
So I remember like my earliest tune I remember Ja Rule was Holler.
Yeah.
So was it around them times or a bit before?
It would have been around then because that was Veni, Vetti, Vecchi.
I love that tune.
Yeah,
that
album
was crazy.
What Holler was on that album, Veni, Vetti, Vecchi, fucking banged.
Mad. Yeah.
And then he just went off and like done his
Ashanti, sir.
Singing, was it? Sing with holes and sounds like the Cookie Monster.
Whose part was that?
Where would I be without you?
Yeah, man.
No, but then he won the other day, didn't he? On the verses against Fat Joe. Wiped the floor with him, apparently.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't seen
it. Well, I've only seen clips of it, but what I saw of Joe was sick, actually.
Because
everyone was saying that, and I was like...
Loads of people were like, nah, he fucked him up.
Why?
Yeah.
Should have got him in 50.
Yeah, that's what they were looking
to do. But apparently they're not all right, but there's been loads of times where they've been in the same place and kind of been, oh, yeah, cool, whatever. Fifth destroyed him a long time ago.
He's just a troll, man. 50's a fucking on Instagram, he's just fucking always trolling someone, man.
Oh. Is he still up to that?
Yeah.
I thought he calmed down after he got his TV thing going.
Nah, he's still up to it, man. He's fucking still doing it.
Yeah, he's funny, man.
Like 50 Cent is like, he's a massive troll.
Yeah.
It's like, what does feel like if you ask me what 50 Cent does now? I'd be like, he's a fucking Instagram troll.
Basically, yeah.
That's his job.
He's a TV mogul.
No, he is. Yeah, he's like,
But yeah, I know what you're saying. With him being actually 50 Cent.
I seen that Ja Rule was doing a show and he's pulled the whole front row.
Oh, yeah. So he almost...
Yeah. Man just sat there on his own in the front row. Ah, look at
that. He is a fucking massive troll, isn't he?
He's funny, man.
He's jokes, man. Yeah. But it's like Eminem as well, like when Eminem was doing that. Because I know Eminem, like fucking... Like a lot of people in fucking... They've got like that like hate relationship with Eminem. But like fucking, I'm just like... I think M's sick. And like fucking... That period of time when he was just fucking trolling everyone, like in his early ages, like it was like fucking like, well, it wasn't even rappers so much, was it? It was like
he
fucking,
was like the original of that stuff, wasn't it?
Like he was like Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, like Popeye's
NSYNC and that, like
the, yeah, remember like, the Mariah Carey thing?
Yeah,
he's like back to Mariah's wine cellar. All I had for lunch was red wine, more red wine, and Captain Crunch.
Yeah,
he's fucking jokes.
M was one of those. Yeah, it was probably a good gateway at my age, do you know what I mean? Because you take that first album, I was saying when I bought it, you had Royce on there, and Bad Meets Evil tune album. Holy mate, come on,
like, Royce as well. I think he has like just fucking carried on improving. He's one of them artists
massively,
just like, and like
you take what he's doing now, but then you listen to like Detroit Rock City, remember that tune?
Yeah.
He's
a
burn, mate. What's the tune? It was on the Grand Theft Auto 3.
Oh, yeah, but I'm the king.
Yeah, I'm the...
Mate, come on. But Alchemist beat, wasn't it?
With Royce the 5'9", like, again, he's just fucking, like, everything he puts out is just fucking getting more golden. It's like, the guy's not signed down. And the most recent, like, the other year, he was putting the stuff out.
That was self-produced, that album, wasn't it?
And the P. Rhyme stuff as well, like, fucking...
Oh, yeah,
the Primo stuff.
I love that project. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I thought Sway on the Morning was saying about it. And he was like, this album's just like Christmas every day.
Yeah.
Christmas dinner every day.
Like, well, I made an alternative Christmas playlist on Spotify.
Mm.
And there's one of the Royce the 5'9 songs, which it's a Christmas song. It's like, doom, doom. And it's like, he's like, this is like 5 a.m. in the Montgomery home. Daddy drunk. And then it's like, drunk as shit.
Yeah,
and it's like, it's a Christmas song, but it's not a Christmas song. This is sick.
It's your type of Christmas song.
Yeah. So, like, to coincide with like the track that I made, I was like, I need to make an alternative, like, hip hop Christmas playlist, which is not like cheesy Christmas, like some.
Driving home for Christmas.
Or even a rapper, like, doing some fucking cheesy, like, jingle bells. You're like, some. I don't know. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, that was one of the tracks.
Did you have DMX Rudolph?
I did. It's not on there. It's not on Spotify, man. It'd have been a good opener to it, though, man.
Yeah.
How are we doing for time, Costa?
A minute.
Really?
Is it?
Fucking hell, it flies by.
There you go, isn't it?
What you plug in? Let's get out, because I don't think you've actually said what are your. Are you pushing anything at the moment?
Wish's album Cold Arbor Tales with Ill-Informed. So we're going to be pushing that, like, the team. Just keep an eye on TK or Stretch, he's doing big things. And that's it. Billy Wiz Saint on any social media platform.
And the composer track coming next? Is the next one from
I'm
you?
Hopefully so. I mean, just ironing out last few details, you know. But yeah, that'll be on my next project. So just gonna get a bit more of it done, but that's got to be a video. Like, it has to be a video, like, you know?
Mm.
So,
yeah, man.
Yeah, that's it. That's me.
What is your personal meaning of life?
Oh man, just be happy.
Be happy.
That's it. Simple. I think that's, you know, just yeah. There's no point doing anything, like, because then you're just, if it makes you dead inside, then what's the point?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
A man without purpose is already dead.
Mm, look after yourself as well. Like, you know, you've always got to look after your own well-being. That's all I can say to people. Keep happy, look after yourself.
Love it. Wicked. Billy Wiz, thank you.
Big ups.
Yeah, cheers, guys.
Oh, don't forget to like and subscribe and smash that bell.
Yeah.
You fucking bellend.
Pause.
Yeah.